these days. I tell you, it's tough to be smarter than your electronics. This morning I was going to go old school. I was going to bring my Bible. And then I realized I had weighed Tim down with the overhead of far too many scriptures to do that. And so I decided I was going to print it off. My printer decided not to work this morning. So I have my iPad. Lord Jesus, help. Now, what I felt like I wanted to start sharing this morning is things are not always as they appear. We talked a lot about this morning with a lot of different situations. And it came to my mind an old Rich Mullins song. He talks about how there are times that God seems distant and how it seems like we're on the edge of failing when, here's the title, we're on the verge of a miracle. We have a God that really wants to step into everything that we are. We've talked about that this morning. Val did a great job bringing that forth. The reality is that if we talk about really what grace is, I think we've all been taught the definition. Grace is unmerited favor. It's favor that we don't deserve. But what is it really? Grace is God trying to step into our situations. Unmerited, we don't deserve it. Favor, God cares. And so the reality of grace is that God wants to get involved in our situations, our challenges. I think of James and Charisse in this visa process. We start the door by, or we open the door to that by praying, God, help us with all of this. Lord, move the visa process up the master's card. Oh, I thought that'd be something there. We look at, here, I'm going to start my Philippine stories now. One of the challenges that I saw, everybody knows that a few months ago there was a typhoon that blew through the Philippines. And we saw the destruction. And you stop and you look how a lot of the Philippine people, they live in anything that could be considered like a hut on Gilligan's Island. And pray to God that it's still standing. Two luxurious homes. On the other hand, we saw homes where walls were missing, roofs were gone, and somebody didn't mow the lawn. I mean, it's clearly that these challenges are there. But the way these people look at it, sure, it's a step backward. It's an obstacle that needs to be overcome. But they're still living life. They're still praising God. I had a chance to interview again with Teen Challenge, and I met a gentleman over there who took a group of people on a missions trip over a distance from where we were. I still don't know where it is, Val, I apologize. We had a good time looking at the map, though. Yeah. And when the typhoon blew through, this group of people that this work group, missions group, helped start a church, and they built a building. The typhoon destroyed the church, but faith in Christ has never been stronger in that town. Things don't always look as they are. We have an earthly perspective. We see it in how we look at the challenges that we have, and then we see it from heaven's perspective. God deeply desires for each one of us to look at things a little bit differently. He's calling us to come into God's, to come into His presence and ask Him about it. Oh dear. Okay. Okay, Tim, we're going to start with Colossians chapter 1. And for those of you who have your Bibles and want to follow along, open them or look overhead. Cool. All right, we're going to start reading at verse 24. Now I rejoice in my sufferings for your sake, and in my flesh I am And in my flesh I am supplementing what is lacking in Christ's afflictions in behalf of his body, which is the church. I was made a minister of this church according to the commission from God granted to me for your benefit, so that I might fully carry out the preaching of the Word of God. Tim, don't change it yet. Thank you. Now, the thing that is really kind of cool about this is Paul said he was made a minister for this purpose. You can stand up every time I read a scripture, but it's going to be like, welcome to the Richmond Community Church aerobics class. He was made a minister through his own sufferings for the church, the things that were going to be brought out of the will of God that he had to basically passionately suffer for the truth of God to come forth. And that's why he was made a minister, to carry out the preaching of the Word of God. Go ahead, Tim. Woo! That is the mystery which has been hidden from past ages and generations and has been revealed to his saints, okay, to whom God willed to make known the wealth of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles. And that is the mystery that is Christ in you, the hope of glory. We proclaim him, admonishing every person and teaching every person with all wisdom, so that we may present every person complete in Christ. For this purpose I also labor, striving according to his power, which works mightily within me. Go back to two verses. There you go. Now, the thing that's really interesting is that Paul became a minister to preach the good news. Well, what's the good news? The mystery that is Christ in you. Now, we think about this. Jesus Christ was born of a virgin. He lived a sinless life. He was crucified on the cross. On the third day, he was resurrected. He lived for 40 days, and he was seen by many. Then he said something crazy. He said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. Then he ascended into heaven, and he sent his Holy Spirit to live in our hearts. And that's the Christ in you. Now, the thing that's really interesting about this is Paul put this in the framework of, we're going to build the church. And we do that by building individuals. And how do we build individuals? By getting them to be in a relationship with the Holy Spirit. We need to nurture that relationship. It's not just Christ lives inside of our hearts and we kind of feel ooey-gooey and, you know, we're kind of like Christian Twinkies. It's all cream-filled inside. Some of us are more sponge-cakey than others. But the reality of all this is the Holy Spirit is living inside of us and we need to nurture that relationship. That should be mandated. If you notice the title of my sermon, The Missing Piece. Now, one thing that I don't know if any of you were taught what I'm sharing with you about this, but I was taught I needed to pray every day, or else I was a bad person. I needed to read my Bible every day, or else I was a bad person. And they were all called spiritual disciplines, and there's lots of things. And one of the spiritual disciplines, of course, is fasting, and I'm talking about Richard Foster's books, The Celebration of Discipline. Some of us haven't fasted in a while. But the reality of all this is when we look at it as spiritual disciplines, as opposed to what it really is, it becomes a point of legalism. You remember how many chapters a day you're supposed to read of the Bible so you make it through the Bible in a year? 3 chapters a day, right? Okay, so you do it. I read my 3 chapters today. I'm amazing. All of a sudden, there's pride. Oh, darn, I missed today. I'm a horrible person. There's shame in my life. And so it becomes a point of I'm doing it to cross something off my to-do list. I'm doing this to be legalistic. And this can go to a lot of things that is basically going on in the Christian life, in our spiritual lives. If we do things legalistically, guess what? Hold on there. Don't steal my thunder. Behave. There's something else we need to understand. If we're doing it legalistically, it becomes a religion. Now, I get it. We go to the library and we look for a book on Christianity. Where would we find it? The religion section. We go to Barnes & Noble. We're looking for a book on Christianity. Where would we find it? In the religion section. But what is a religion? It's not what we think it is. A religion, if you take a look at all the religions of the world, most of them will have a list of do's and don'ts. There's moral rules by which we all have to live by, and that's what a religion is. All the spiritual disciplines that I've just mentioned, you need to be praying. You need to read your Bible. Don't hear me say don't. But do it differently. How are we doing it differently? We do it in relationship to God. It's not just in the glory of God. It's doing with God guiding us. It's amazing how God has been speaking to me and numerous friends out of Scripture, things that we've never seen before. And I know that probably all of you have had this experience. You've read a particular passage hundreds of times, and then all of a sudden a word shows up that was never there before, and it's like somebody snuck in and wrote a word in my Bible that wasn't there before. How come I didn't see this? And all of a sudden it makes the passage come alive. And all of a sudden there's new insights that God is sharing with us. And the reality is that I know I can say for myself, I probably just wasn't ready to hear it. But now that word shows up and things are different. Things have come alive. And so we have religion, moral rules and laws by which we have to live by. Pretty much the Old Testament. The Old Testament, do we have to live by it? Well, of course. Why? The Old Testament pointed to Jesus. But guess what? Jesus has already come. Salvation is there. Life in the Spirit is there. God is more than happy to be our Father. To all who believed in Jesus' name, God gave them the right to be called children of God. Yes, Tim, that's from the Gospel of John. That wasn't there. Anyway, but the reality here is that I told Tim earlier today that if you look at all the Scripture I'm using, I have a favorite gospel. See if anybody can recognize it by the end. And so the reality here is that we come alive in relationship to Christ. And we do that through the Holy Spirit. We're in fellowship with God through Christ and His sacrifice by means of the Holy Spirit. We're coming alive and things are changing. Our perspectives change. And so we think about this perspective. What exactly are we talking about? Tim, let's go to John chapter 10. Let's do, 24. The Jews then surrounded him and began saying to him, "How long will you keep us in suspense? If you are the Christ, tell us plainly." Jesus answered them, "I told you, and you do not believe. The works that I do in my Father's name, these testify of me. But you do not believe because you are not of my sheep. My sheep listen to my voice, and I know them, and they follow me, and I give them eternal life, and they will never perish, and no one will snatch them out of my hand. My Father, who has given them to me, is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of my Father's hand. I and the Father are one." Now, the thing that I wanted to bring out in this is verse 27, Tim. There you go. "My sheep listen to my voice, and I know them, and they follow me." Now, the thing that's interesting is that when we're in fellowship with the Holy Spirit, we learn to hear God's voice. It's amazing what happens when God speaks to us in such a way that something comes alive. All of a sudden, we know what we have to do. God has made it clear. Or God has showed us the next step, which is how He deals with me. He shows me the next step so I don't run ahead, run into a tree, and cause problems. The reality of all this is that we need to learn the voice of God. And that's what we do in relationship to Him. It takes time. It takes practice. But when we see the voice of God at work, we hear it. We know it. Then we know how to proceed. All right, Tim, let's go to the next one. John chapter 10. "The thief comes only to steal, kill, and destroy, but I came so that they would have life and have it abundantly." And that's a promise that we have. One of the challenges that I've seen, and I've talked to a lot of brothers and sisters about this, and I won't put anybody on the spot, but some of you have confessed to this. I just don't see abundantly in my life. God promised it. It's right there, John chapter 10. But I don't have that. Why not? It's because we're not hearing the voice of God. It's because the perspective that we have, we look at it from an earthly perspective, as opposed to the perspective of heaven, which God is trying to give us. And we do that through intimacy with God, where we're seeking God, we're being in fellowship with the Holy Spirit, and we're hearing His voice. Tim, go ahead, John chapter 5, verse 19. While he's bringing that up, I want to mention something out of Romans. In Romans, there's a verse, chapter 8, verse 29. "For those God foreknew, He predestined predestined them to grow into the likeness of his Son. And there's something really powerful about that. We are here in relationship with God to grow into Christ-likeness. Some of us have farther to go than others. But the reality here is that we need to start focusing on what Jesus did and hearing his voice so that we can grow. Verse 19, therefore Jesus answered and was saying to them, truly, truly, I say to you, the Son can do nothing of himself unless it is something he sees the Father doing. For whatever the Father does, these things the Son also does in the same way. So Jesus, when he was on earth, he gave us the example, the model, of getting up early, sorry everybody, seeking God, and hearing what God is saying. How do you want me to proceed today? The Son only sees and does what the Father is showing him. Like I said, the perspective of heaven is different than the perspective of earth. Another Philippine story I'm going to let Lisa and Val and Glenn and James have the right to rebuttal after my sermon. But there are some things that we think were amazing that definitely are not. We were in this department store thing, and they had a pizza stand. Know where I'm going with this already? Oh, come on. They had something on the menu called an Oreo pizza. And so we're thinking, Oreo pizza, that sounds awesome. Until you realize it's a Canadian bacon and pineapple pizza with Oreos crumbled on top. It was okay. I didn't think it was pleasant. Did we eat it all? See, we couldn't even bribe the dog. Things from heaven's perspective are not the same as earthly perspective. And from now on, that Oreo pizza will be an example of the time that somebody decided to do an earthly perspective and make it into a pizza. All right. But Jesus only did what he saw the Father doing, and those things the Father showed him, and the greater works than those Jesus was able to do. Let's go to John 14. We're going to start it. Let's start at verse 10 just for fun. It's nice how he has it ready. He's so amazing. Do not believe that I am in the Father. Do you not believe that I am in the Father, and the Father is in me? The words that I say to you, I do not speak on my own, but the Father, as he remains in me, does his work. Believe me that I am in the Father, and the Father is in me. Otherwise, believe because the works themselves. Truly, truly, I say to you, the one who believes in me, the works that I do, he will do also, and greater works than these he will do, because I'm going to the Father. And whatever you ask in my name, this I will do, so that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask me anything in my name, I will do it. Let's go back to verse 12. Remember, we're growing in Christ-likeness? Here's a very interesting promise from Christ himself. Truly, truly, I say to you, the one who believes in me, the works that I do, he will do also. I want to take us all down to the Willamette. I want to see us all walk on water. Let's just get us going. Now, here's the real part. Greater works than these he will do because I'm going to the Father. Of course, what he's saying is that he's going to the Father. He's going to intercede for us at the right hand of the Father for us to go forward in the things that Christ himself were doing. It's amazing how, if we think about the woman at the well, and her response after hearing Christ say is, come and meet the man who told me everything that I'd ever done. It's amazing what happens when you hear the voice of God. Things change, and greater things change. A testimony. I'm going to turn around and talk to you guys now. If you have to race to the altar to pray, that's fine too. I'm a part of an intercessory prayer team in another church. There was a lady who came in. She has two sons at the time. One was 29, one was 39. One was addicted to drugs. The other was addicted to alcohol. And she said, I just need some godly encouragement. It was just a painful, painful thing for her. She was just completely and totally wiped out. She was like on her last nerve. And so I was praying with three other people that day for her. And we were praying. We were saying and praying all things that were encouraging. I'm checking on you. And I looked up at her as we were praying for her, and you could see she was just pitying us. These are awfully nice words, but they're not changing a thing in my life. And all of a sudden, I had a pain in my back. It was in my back, not... And so she had a pain in her back, and it just showed up while we were praying. And I said, God, what's going on? And he said, ask her about it. And I said, do you have a pain in your back? And all of a sudden, she got excited, and she says, yes, I have a pain in my back. It just showed up yesterday. And I said, I believe God wants to heal that. And so we laid hands on her. We prayed against this pain. The pain instantly disappeared. And from that point on, all the things that we prayed for her, this encouragement that she so desperately wanted, it was like her heart was opened up. She was willing to receive that God is still there, God still cares, and he was going to place his hands on her sons. It's amazing what happens when you listen to God, and God is God, being God, in a way where he demonstrates care. And that's what this is all about. Those who know me, those who believe in me, they'll do the works that I do. But guess what? They'll do greater works because they go to the Father to intercede. Are you ready to do greater works? One of the greatest challenges here is, I think a lot of us, we don't get it. It's very, very difficult to get our heads around, well, if I'm going to get alone with God, if I'm going to have fellowship with the Holy Spirit, if I'm going to honor Christ in all of this, exactly how does that work? I don't get it. It doesn't make sense. Well, Christ didn't leave us without guidance. Tim, we're looking at 1 Corinthians chapter 2. And one of the songs that Lisa and the worship team very passionately presented, here's where the words come from. But just as it is written, things which eye has not seen and ear has not heard, and which have not entered the human heart, all that God has prepared for those who love him. Let me say it in words that I appreciate. No eye has seen, nor ear heard, nor mind conceived what God has prepared for those who love him. Go ahead, Tim. For to us God revealed them through his Spirit. Remember that fellowship, learning to hear God's voice? He revealed them through his Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, even the depths of God. For who among people knows the thoughts of a person except the spirit of the person that is in him? So, also the thoughts of God no one knows except the Spirit of God. Now we have not received the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, so that we may know the things freely given to us. I'm going to stand up for this because to me this is just so important. It's when we understand what's going on. We have a situation where we're in relationship with God, and the Holy Spirit goes back, go back one, Tim. One more. There we go. God has revealed those things that are in the human heart. Did I miss it? He searches all things. Go back, Tim, or forward. Go back to 11. There you go. And he searches the heart of a man, because who knows what's going on inside of a heart of a man, but the spirit of the man. We all know that we have a spirit. And so the Holy Spirit searches the depths of who we are. Next one, Tim. And the depths of who God is. And he brings those things together at just the right time to reveal to us. You look at this, see what it says? The things freely given to us, past tense. These things we already have. And it's as we grow, all of a sudden these gifts, these blessings, the anointings, these crazy, wacky things that God has placed inside of each one of us, he brings them together at just the right time to reveal to us that you don't need to be afraid to step out and be bold in Christ. You don't need to be afraid to pray against something. God has searched who you are and searched who he is and brought it together and said, I'm freely giving you this. Let's keep going, Tim. So we also speak these things, not in words taught by human wisdom, but in those taught by the Spirit, combining spiritual thoughts with spiritual words. We're learning something totally new and different. When we get into the presence of God and we seek God and we're in fellowship with him, he teaches us how to hear things from, ready? Heaven's perspective. We begin to see that there's something new out in front of us, and we can't be totally and completely wiped out by the earthly perspective. God has brought something so cool into our lives because we're alive in the Spirit. Let me just give you an illustration. This is one of my favorite illustrations that the Lord gave me one time as I was preaching out at Gales Creek. When we come to salvation, God gives us a warehouse. And that warehouse is so totally, completely full of everything that we will ever need. But it's not in any particular order that we can perceive of. It's something that only the Holy Spirit knows. And so He will go and He will search for just the right thing at the right time, and He will bring it to us so that we have access to it. Well, what happens if we break off relationship with God, break off relationship with the Holy Spirit? All of a sudden, the person who's searching the depths of who we are is not able to bring those things to us because we've sold out to, forgive me, but the perspective of the devil and the perspective of earthly things. God has called us to go so much deeper in the Spirit. And guess what? It's all just simple relationship. Okay, well, here's spiritual thoughts and spiritual words, and we make our requests known to God. You know, what's going on here? Well, here's another uncomfortable thing. There are times that when we go to prayer, we have to shut up. There are so many people that, well, in our culture today, I don't know that I resemble one, but there are those who continually talk. And that talking gets in the way of our relationship with God. When we just go to prayer and we have our to-do list, you know, God, go get us this, go do this, go do this, and then we stop prayer. We don't stop and we listen to the voice of God. We miss out on the best part of prayer. When God speaks into our life, when He provides that grace, stepping into who we are in the challenges of our lives or into the joys of our life, all of a sudden things come alive. That spiritual concept is just flashing neon. There's joy in the Lord, y'all.
You should relate to that. Come on now.
All right. Let's go on. Where did we leave off, Tim? 14. But a natural person does not accept the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him, and he cannot understand them because they are spiritually discerned. Okay? Remember, we were talking the heavenly perspective versus the earthly perspective? There they are. Those things from an earthly perspective, the natural person doesn't accept them because they're foolishness to him. He can't understand them because they're spiritually discerned. If you're not alive in the Spirit, for those of you who are theologians in the audience, if you're not regenerated in the Spirit, you're going to miss all this. Verse 15, Tim. But the one who is spiritual discerns all things, yet he himself is discerned by no one. For who has known the mind of the Lord that he will instruct him? But, here's a promise, y'all, we have the mind of Christ. When we're in relationship with the Holy Spirit, when we're in that fellowship moment, the Lord begins to regenerate our minds. He gives us a new perspective to look at things from heaven's perspective so that we can move forward in the things that He's called us to do. Now, my third Filipino testimony is from a dear friend named Samuel. Samuel is a music minister in the Philippines. He's a very, very talented guitarist. Now, to be honest with you, his discernment's a little off. During James and Charisse's reception celebration thing, they actually called me up to sing a dozen Beatles tunes. So clearly his discernment is off. But this is a testimony that he had. Go ahead, Tim.
time to share words, good words, to the people who are in need. I was praying in the very early morning when I woke up. So it was then that my friend's pastor, a billionaire pastor, called me up and invited me a lunch to their house somewhere in Kaloha. It was a quite far place from our place. So since I was stranded and I had nothing to do with that during the day, so I was very glad that I was invited for lunch. I thought that it was only lunch, so he said that he is preparing to go to a place somewhere in the area where people were so very busy, homeless, striving hard for their survival in the day. So those people around there was busy, were very busy. I never thought that I would be invited as a guest speaker. I was unprepared. But of course, I prayed to the Lord. That's why I am sharing this experience, because I was really touched when I felt the presence of the Lord in my life. So I went there with my friend. We walked about 2 kilometers from the place where we had a lunch. And then when we get there, people were waiting, and they were surprised why the pastor, their pastor, had somebody, and it was him. So since as a musician also, and as a singer, I shared first my song. The song that I shared is the song that was taken in John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. So I shared that song. And then that was also the verse that I took up to share with them. They were so very amazed, because it was then that they took the responsibility, the challenge, the believing and trusting their lives to the Lord. But his strong faith and the grace will make them safe. That's why they were touched. And then I prayed to the Lord, thank you, Lord, because I know I was not prepared, but you made me able to share the gospel and the songs that also I share with them. And the people were uplifted of this sharing of the gospel. And I was really, really touched, because I know that the Lord was present, always present in my life. And every time I had some chances of making sharing with friends, including my new friend, my pastor also, I shared this because I really have all this just inside of me, but I have to express it. The Lord is always present in our lives, especially the time that we call and we call him for a long help, or something that you want to share, and something that you want to depend on, that he will guide you words that you are going to use to incorporate to the people who are listening to you. And thank you, Lord, because my friend who also wants me to share this. Thank you, Lord. I really, really trust in you. I give that everything to you. Amen. Amen. Thank you.
There's more to this story, by the way. He was going to a group of homeless people, and he had prayed that he would be used. He didn't know he was going there. And when he got there, the Lord inspired him, gave him the words to preach. I saw him the day after he filmed this, and he had just gotten word that those homeless people wanted him back. The word of God, the message that he brought, What was the message? John 3:16. They wanted him back. And his ministry is now growing at a homeless camp where people are definitely in need. So, when we're in fellowship with the Holy Spirit, listen to what God has to say. Be ready to be obedient. Let him grow you. Let him stretch you. Let him bless you. In Jesus' name.